This is the Preservation Technology Podcast, bringing innovation to preservation. The Preservation Technology Podcast is a production of the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training, a unit of the National Park Service.
Thank you for joining us. My name is Megan Reed. I'm with the Preservation Technology Podcast, and I am here with
Dr. Christopher Barton. I'm an associate professor of archaeology at Francis Marion University.
Thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to be talking about your book, Trials in the Trenches. Can you explain to me how you connected archaeology as a tool for activism?
My work is not a standalone work. There's a lot of other archaeologists who have done similar things. Randy McGuire, Megan Springate, Alexander Jones have done a lot of similar work. And when I was in graduate school many, many, many years ago, I read Randy McGuire's Archaeology as Political Activism and as Political Action, and it helped to inspire me and inspire the people I was working with to then develop a volume that had different contributors and people from all different parts of the world studying different times and different topics and bring them to discuss archaeology and using archaeology and our craft, or at least as a medium of social activism.
Great. And so what motivates you to bring this book together?
Tenure? No, so it's a bunch of different things. So I was raised in a Catholic household, and in it, we were taught that I'm my brother's keeper. And those of us that were given certain privileges, that we need to take care and we need to help and lift up people that have been less fortunate. In terms of archaeology, I'm not trying to say that this isn't some type of like white knight in shining armor. No, the idea here is that I have a unique set of skills, and utilizing those skills, I can work with people. We can find meaning. The idea is, me as an archaeologist, I'm not the gatekeeper to the past. I don't turn around and we don't go out to sites and we don't excavate sites and look at sites and say, all right, this is why it's important. This is why you should save it. And this is now, when you're talking to community stakeholders, when you talk to members of the public, the idea is that this is a pragmatic conversation. I live in South Carolina right now. And if you can't tell from this nasally accent, I'm from Jersey. I am a middle-aged white dude from Jersey. And if I'm going to come down here to South Carolina and I'm going to work in rural PD region where I'm at now, I don't hold a monopoly on that meeting. I don't know what it means to be from the PD, right? I sure as hell don't know what it means to be Black. But the idea is that I work with people as equal partners through this collaboration to go out and study the past. And what we try to do through this type of work is that we understand our situations where we are in the present today. How do we get here? Okay, well, we got here from issues that might have happened in the past, right? So if we're talking about the PD, we're talking about slavery, we're talking about antebellum period, postbellum period, Jim Crow, all these. Well, if we can study that and understand these legacies, well, how can we make that into a brighter future? How can we understand that this is the situation that we're in and how we got here, and how can we try to make positive changes to make it a better world for all people?
That's a great point. So for the book, did you find any difficulty in choosing which topics to talk about in the book?
So I went back and forth with the editor, and I think it was one of the peer reviewers. In it, you know, I was talking about the idea of like archaeology as social activism. A lot of people wanted archaeology as social activism to be like radical. And it very much should be radical. Literally, the title of the book, Trials in the Trenches, the idea is that it was supposed to be like trench lines and this idea of this battling back and forth. And initially, that was what I wanted to run with, this idea of like radical punk rock archaeology. But what I found out, at least in terms of my reading and talking with people in different fields and everything, was that all archaeology is a form of social activism. You think of the archaeologists who are out there working day in and day out doing backbreaking labor. What are they doing? They're doing it so that they can try to inform us in the present about something that happened in the past. Through that, they're trying to teach us and trying to enlighten us to make, again, us more informed in the future. So one of the difficulties that we had was basically arguing that, right? That all archaeology is a form of social activism. Now, granted, it's not all in the same medium of varying spectrum. So what we kept getting back to was the idea that archaeology, social activism, is not a product. There's no level of uniformity that comes out. Rather, it's a process. And it's a very, very varied process. There's a lot of trial and error that takes place. I always joke around that like I've lost more hair becoming an archaeologist than I ever did before. Could also be because I have a toddler, but here's the question for you. What do you think the role is of archaeology?
I feel like we are an educator to the public of things that happened in the past and how we can learn from it as a way of that, of our educating our public and our fellow people about different aspects of the history and how we can either improve upon it or learn from it in a way to take us forward to the future.
Yeah, and that's a great answer. But like going up through undergraduate, graduate school and all these other, right? And you got a lot of old white guys like me that are teaching it, right? And they were like obsessed with lists. And they view archaeology as essentially an inventory. This is what we found. We need to check off all these boxes. And that's what archaeology is. But then over time, thankfully, we've pushed that. We've had the work of people like Mark Leone and Jentsch. And what happens is we start to push into talking about social meaning. What is the meaning that is imbued, that is both reflected and reconstructed through these types of objects. That was a foundational stepping point for us as archaeologists. I think we're in another stage now that we've understood that, like, look, we understand about social meaning, we understand about lists, right? But we are in a very unique position as scientists, as craftspeople, to utilize this knowledge that we've had to then use that as a form of social activism. Think about the work that archaeologists can do. We can talk about issues of pollution. We can talk about issues of unequal access to healthcare, unequal access to food, all of these historical lineages that we can talk about and legacies that continue today. And we can have fundamental conversation. So with the book, we basically created three ideas. One is, can archaeology be used for social activism? Do you think it can?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Like the idea to think that we as archaeologists at one site or in one site report, most people aren't going to read, except for some, is somehow going to take that and that's going to create profound change. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think it would be beyond naive to think that a single individual is going to be able to create such positive change in the world. But the idea is that we are in a field that society has deemed important, and that if society has value in it, we have college courses that are dedicated, we have the National Park Service that has aspects that are dedicated, that since we have some type of value in that, that then we can take that and we can use that limited influence to then create some type of change. And even if that's small incremental change, it's still some type of positive effect.
All topics of trying to connect archaeology to social activism are important, but why did you choose these specific topics for your book more than other ones?
So the idea is, we're always talking about intersectionality, so the different idea. So the idea is, we want to get people, a lot of people from different places, and a lot of people are studying different things. And then one of the things that's kind of happened within this growing dialogue and discourse within historical archaeology, or within social archaeology as social activism as archaeology, is that, and I'm very guilty of this, it's really kind of been curtailed to just historic archaeology. And what we wanted to do was broaden that to say that, look, we have articles in here talking about the Neolithic and gender identity. We have people studying jihadi takeover in Timbuktu. So the idea was, we're trying to diversify it. Say, look, this isn't just U.S. Eastern Seaboard historic archaeology, that rather this can be global and it can have no temporal bounds.
That's great. So how would you like our listeners or readers of your book to take away from reading it? Is there any specific things of how you want them to leave with when they read the book?
Yeah, so the idea is that don't ever think of yourself as being powerless in society. Even the fact that you're engaging, that you're reading with an archaeology that might not be in your typical reader's list, or you might be thinking about something differently. Just the idea that you're getting someone out of your comfort zone, that you're starting to think about different things in different ways, it's a positive thing for you. What I would also say, and this is much more personal note, so I'm dyslexic. I have learning disabilities. And my whole life, I had people tell me that, like, college isn't for everyone. I was a construction worker in oil refineries back in the day, and that maybe I should just stick with that. And I think I talk about that in the book. But one of the things that I'd like people to take away is that, like, we all have little bits of limitations that either society puts on us, or even sometimes we put it on ourselves. You can overcome those. And sometimes it's going to be a struggle. And sometimes even overcoming might seem insurmountable. But I've struggled with writing my entire life. I've struggled even with reading my entire life. If you help to set your mind to it, and you have a determination, and you help with others, no book that is ever written is written by a single individual. It is a community that comes together and helps support them. And that's what this book is. So if you're thinking about this in your own personal life and you get done reading it, don't think that you're alone in your struggles and your ups and your downs and everything. You are with a community of people that support and love you. That was really hippie. That was great.
My last question for you is, what advice would you give other archaeists who want to try and take their research to promote it as part of a social activism?
All right. So what I would say is, I think the future of archaeology needs to be two things. And this is a conversation that Paulette Stephen has it right now in her amazing book. But, like, we need to decolonize archaeology and we need to democratize. We need to push away from the pyramid structure where the archaeologist is at the very top and then students are seen as labor. Vested community members are seen as some out on the outside. We need to look this much more like a very broad concentric circles that are constantly overlapping. I mentioned earlier about how I'm not from South Carolina. When we discuss sites and we try to select sites for excavation, my students are part of it. My students have a unique knowledge of what it means to be from the PD, of the history of it. They have extended social networks. Don't look at students just as labor, right? Students are your collaborator. They have unique insights. What I would suggest for somebody thinking about doing this in terms of looking at social activism is, never think that you're limiting yourself if you're just going out and writing a site report and you're talking. You might add a word that you never put in before. You might be talking about, for instance, I'm talking in another book about the relationship between Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, and I struggled over how to actually discuss that? Like, how do you discuss that relationship? And eventually I turned and used the word rape. And it was coming from my background and all the cultural baggage I bring. And like, it was a struggle for me to do that. Changing one word, is that necessarily a form of social activism? Well, probably not for most people. It's not radical, but the idea within my mindset, it took me a little bit out of that comfort zone and then kind of progressed through it. So again, what I would say is never think of this type of social activism as just so radical. It's something that can be implemented in any site report. It can be implemented in any scholarly presentation. But the idea is that we need to understand, and to steal a line from Stan Lee here, but with great power comes great responsibility, right? And we have tremendous power in our society. We need to use that to promote good.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
This was a presentation of the Preservation Technology Podcast, produced by the National Center for Preservation Technology and Training. To find more podcasts like this one, please visit our website,